I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Nostrastonis standing by. Steve, who knows all of baseball, had himself quite an entertaining opener in the Sox 14-7 win to ruin the Kansas City Royals' 50th anniversary parties. Sorry, good news, bad news here. Let's start with the good news. A whole bunch of home runs.
Well, that certainly is good, and this team has some power. But there's other key stats that kind of get lost in all of this offensive barrage. And look, Steve, this is going to be an exciting team, going to be an exciting offensive team. We saw it in spring training, a rare combination of very big power, especially with Matt Davidson doing what he's doing. I'm pretty sure he's not going to hit 500 home runs. So I think that we'll scale back expectations a bit. And then look at the speed. Up and down this order, you've got Moncada at the top, but just as importantly, you've got Angle at the bottom, both speed burners. You've got Garcia, who can run a little bit. You've got Leury Garcia when he comes in with big speed, and Anderson with even better speed, and Sanchez can run. So what I thought yesterday was a real promising sign, they had 7 walks and 6 strikeouts. Now, I'm just hastily looking through the lineup, and I think those are the numbers, but with 7 walks in an opener for a team that maybe walked, I don't know, every 3 days last year and the year before, I think it's pretty impressive.
It is impressive, and it's got something to do with coaching and managing that teach patience, especially with a young team. But Dave, Steve's not wrong. Matt Davidson is pacing for 486 home runs if he plays every day.
Yeah, but I think Steve's probably right on this, that he's not going to hit that.
Well, you never know.
But it could happen. So let's go back to James Shields, Steve. What do you make of his performance? Obviously a real tough start, and then he settled down.
Well, what I liked yesterday especially was, I went and I talked to James before the game, and I said, look, your pitching's going to be your pitching. What I'm most proud of you for is the fact that you're mentoring these young pitchers. I said, this is an entire staff of guys that are just learning how to do it on the job. It's trial by ordeal. And I said, they call you Grandpa for a reason. You're the leader of this staff. And I love the fact that you've taken over and trying to teach these young kids pickoff moves, how to cover bases. I mean, what pitch to make at a certain time, how to soften up a hitter, how to look at the soft spots, and then go right at him. Now, in the first inning, he didn't do that. And then he came off after the second, and he looked in, and he was walking up as Castillo was walking up. And he kind of made the motion like, hey, look, I got nothing to lose. Now I'm going right at him. Well, just that adjustment on the fly showed you all you need to know about James Shields. 4 hitters, 4 runs. You're down 4-0. With 2 outs in the inning, Gordon doubles. They don't get another hit off James Shields. He just held them down for this team to come back, for this offense to come back. For me, as your number one guy, and he is that, and everybody knows that Giolito will eventually supplant him as number one, but once you have your starting rotation, number 1 or 4 doesn't matter. They rotate the number 5 starter, and 1 and 4 start every 5 days. So it doesn't matter if you're 1 or 4. And so McKeeler is going to be good. If Fields does what he does yesterday, and he's not going to do that all the time, but, you know, 4 runs in 6 innings doesn't look as impressive as 4 runs in, nobody out, first inning, you're down 4-0. It went to 14-4. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Because he's got the savvy and he's got the ability to pull that off. Now, well, it's what you were alluding to as well. You can't give up 4 runs in the first inning because you can't expect to score 14 every night.
Right.
So even though we're going to get all that excitement you talked about, this has got to be the stuff that maybe keeps Ricky Renteria up at night. What do we do to keep the offensive production of the other guys down?
Well, what you do is you have these young guys step up, and eventually, you know, they're going to have to make pitches in the major leagues, but not consistently before the major leagues teaches them all the lessons that you have to be successful. And that's understanding, number one, you can get more guys out taking something off the ball than you can trying to add something. There's a guy that tops out at 95. So maybe he throws it full gorilla, and he throws it 97. Well, you miss your spot 95, 97 to the hitter. That's very pleasant these days. But if you take something off and you go to 88, suddenly that 95 looks like 105, and the 88 is unhittable because the hitter moves out. You've got him off balance. He goes out on a front foot, can't keep his hands back, and you can't do anything with that swing. That's the art of pitching. And these young guys right now, by and large, except for possibly Giolito, these guys are throwers, not pitchers. They will become that. And Giolito, from the beginning of last year until when he ended with the Sox during the regular season, he showed a maturation process that kind of accelerated expectations. I mean, he was brilliant. He was brilliant this spring, and I have every belief that he's going to be brilliant as he moves along through his career. So assuming he stays together, and that's a big assumption, he's going to be a good one. And then there's a whole pile of guys up behind him. And remember something, Carlos Rodon is coming back. Now, I don't know when he is, but when he does, if he shows what he's shown at spots along the way, then we got another quality, probably the top of the rotation starter.
Giolito's going to go tomorrow, Steve. What do you expect from him versus, and I know he had a great spring, but what will we see from him compared to what we saw, say, last September?
You can see the same thing, in my estimation. I think it's going to be a tough day for the Royals. I think that, you know, the Royals are a decent team. They're in transition also. This is a rebuilding year. They don't want to specifically say we're going to burn it to the ground and then build it back up. Dayton Moore is a very good general manager. He showed by staffing a team that was one game away from the World Series, and the next year they won the World Series. He knows how to do it, but now he has to do it in an accelerated manner. He's not going to be able to do it with draft choices. This is not a great system for them. They don't have what the Sox have, but maybe three or four other organizations do. But the Royals are going to have to do it on the fly without a great deal of money. They're going to have to do it more quickly, or their fans are going to desert them like they have in recent years when they haven't been good. Yet there is a love affair when this team plays well in this very, a relatively small city. And again, without the big money to perpetuate winning, what you have to do is you have to pick your spots, win for a couple of years, maybe sneak in a series, and then be non-competitive for a couple of years as you rebuild the system. They don't have guys to trade that are meaningful. I look for Danny Duffy to probably go, and I'm sure they're going to trade Moustakas. So, I mean, you know, it's just a question. When this team falls out, and Kansas City will fall out, then they start unloading what assets they have. And maybe, you know, Herrera in the bullpen, maybe he goes, and it brings back something. They can't make a Rick Hahn deal. They don't have Chris Sale to trade. They don't have Jose Quintana to trade. They don't even have Adam Eaton to trade. And so with the haul that Rick got back, Sox were able to restock. But Kansas City can't do that. They've got to do it a different way, and I'm not sure. Maybe the international market. They've made some trades to get international money. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to make some deals and restock. But in the meantime, I think the Sox are going to beat them like rented donkeys. And I do believe that it's not going to be a good year for Detroit or Kansas City. I think the Sox get third, and possibly, just possibly, if something happens to Minnesota, maybe they get second. You know, look, it's not a wonderful pitching staff, but they're competent. Miguel Gonzalez, the back end, can do it. Not going to be great, but for a fifth starter, he's better than most. And the guys in the middle, we'll see. We'll see what Lopez does. I mean, we'll see what these guys do. We'll see what happens when Rodon gets back. And the question is, who's going to be the first call-up or two? Nobody can predict that. Depends on where the team is.
Yeah, it's a fun start. It's just a fun start. By the way, what time tomorrow, Dave?
Tomorrow is a 5:40 pregame, and the first pitch will be at 6:15 tomorrow.
Steve Stone, I know what a big fan you are of all sports, and I don't know if you caught this last night, the story of Scott Foster. This is the 36-year-old accountant, emergency goalie, who on a number of occasions has been called to have free dinner at the United Center with no chance of getting in the game. The Hawks, because of the bizarre season they've had, get injuries to everybody in the front four. So now they're five deep, and Foster goes in with 12 minutes to play, stops all seven Winnipeg shots, and secures the win, becomes the first star of the game. It's a great story about a guy that was doing tax work yesterday and was an NHL goalie last night. But with your encyclopedic baseball mind, I was trying to think of a baseball equivalent of that. You know, is there a baseball equivalent of a guy that got picked off the street for a moment, that had his one day in the bigs outside of Eddie Goodell, that we're not thinking of, that we forgot?
Well, how about, is it Adam Greenberg for the Cubs?
Oh, yeah, one at bat.
He had one at bat, got hit in the head, and that was pretty much it. Now, I think he might have picked up another at bat or so somewhere down the road. One point, it looks like he was going to be a one-and-done guy, and he got a headburger for his efforts. So, I mean, it's a great story for the Blackhawks, a great story for a goalie who just was probably praying for just one day, in the NHL to substantiate all his hard work. Well, he got it. He got it and was a star. And so if he never plays another game, he's going to be a very happy man. At 36 yep. years old, you ask for just one shot.
Stoney, let me throw a name at you. I think he might have been a teammate of yours. Harry Chappis.
No, he was not, but I was probably one of the few guys who could look him eye to eye and perhaps get a rebound from him. And by the way, Jason told me a wonderful story, and it pertains to hockey, is why I bring it up. He said there's a documented history of conjoined twins that loved hockey and became goalies and played. The problem was 2 5 holes, so they had to retire. So that was the story of Jason. And I don't know if it's true or not. I believe everything he says.
Of course you do. Why would you?
All right, I know you're a Hoops fan. You like Loyola against Michigan?
No, I don't. I like Michigan, but Loyola can win because Loyola's on a roll. They've been playing wonderful basketball. They're really fast. I think they're undersized. I believe that Michigan goes to the hoop, dominates the boards, and eventually does them in. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, so do we. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Really appreciate the information. As you know, we love having the Sox on WGN. That's a great Steve Stone.